We are here today with the quite wonderful director, screenwriter, filmmaker, Grant Sicluna.
Hello.
Welcome.
Hi, Grant. we've decided to sit down with Grant because he's working on a very exciting Screen Australia-funded feature film project called Downriver at the moment.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about that project as a starting point, Grant?
Yeah, sure. So just finished shooting about a week and a half ago. My first feature. I first wrote the draft for that 10 years ago.
Wow.
So it's been a long process.
So you're seeing it come to fruition now.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. It's kind of weird because, you know, for 10 years I've been looking at words on a page, and then now when I look at pages of the script, I see pictures.
And so is it what you initially thought it would be, the pictures?
Yeah, absolutely. Certainly, sometimes. And then also there are surprises along the way. And, you know, and that all goes to cast, because sometimes you see actors in mind, and there were certainly some actors I had attached for a few years, so I've seen them when I've been redrafting, I've seen them sort of delivering the lines, but then new actors come along and they just take it in a different direction, and that's unexpected and surprising and wonderful, and yeah,
all of those things. I'm sure.
So it must be pretty exciting to have been Screen Australia funded and to have got to the point of the first feature in your career, but I imagine there was quite a bit of work before that happened to bring you to this moment.
Yeah, I mean, 10 years of drafting and redrafting the feature, and meanwhile, as a director, I was working on short films, and I think I've made about 6 or 7.
Yeah.
There may be others. I don't see.
Should we look for them?
You don't admit to.
Buried in the backyard. But yeah, working through short films and trying to develop as a director, as well as writing and developing as a writer and this particular project. So it has been a lot of hard work. And then particularly the last 2 years, I was lucky I had a short film called The Wilding, which was quite successful.
Mm-hmm. That screened at the Berlinale?
That's right, yeah. And Sydney Film Festival in Melbourne.
You can sound more excited about that.
Yes. Playing it very cool.
It's
just a festival. No, it was a wonderful launching pad for the film. And, you know, I honestly credit a lot of the success of the film with that first screening, because it just legitimizes the film in such a big way. And so many other festivals just programmed it automatically because it was screened at Berlin. And so with that kind of doing the circuit, Screen Australia was saying to me, you know, are you ready to do a feature? Would you like to talk about doing a feature? And we kept writing Downriver. And Downriver, in a way, is kind of an extension of that short film, The Wilding. Mm-hmm. It's not exactly the same story.
But so the protagonist crosses over the two films, is that
right? Yeah, very similar. He's not exactly the same character. In fact, he's got a different name. But the sense of that character is exactly the same. Mm-hmm. A kind of young guy who's been imprisoned, has a really strong moral code and wants to do the right thing in the face of having done the wrong thing in the past. And that was really kind of at the heart of The Wilding, and certainly is what Downriver is about as well.
And so you had a true collaboration in that sense with Screen Australia, who's basically came and said, are you ready to make a feature? And then you said, presumably, yes. And then from there, you worked together with Screen Australia to come to Downriver?
Yeah, well, I already had the feature
ready to go.
But we went through two drafts together, me and one of the people in development there at Screen Australia.
Great.
Working with me on the script. But then, even then, it wasn't an automatic go. The process of financing is really fraught. Mm-hmm. So even Screen Australia, who were interested in the project, said no twice, which actually put us out of the game. So we thought the film was dead about a year and a half ago. And then it was only that the Melbourne Film Festival came along and they put up some money. And then Film Vic said, well, we might put up some money if Screen Australia then come back and put up their money.
Yeah.
So we went back to Screen Australia. We repackaged the whole thing. We slashed $1 million from the budget and basically asked them for a much smaller investment.
Yep.
And then they turned around and said, okay, well, we can do that.
We can do that, yeah.
So then we were back in the game. And Film Vic came along, distributor and our sales agent, and we were able to put together the budget for the film with a nice healthy crowdfund campaign that put us across the line.
Yeah. So you use multiple sources of funding, which is fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah, we really had to. Yeah. We really had to. And every dollar was so important. And looking back over the shoot now, every dollar was so important.
Right. Yeah, I bet.
Because we were just constantly, like, on the line.
Yeah.
So we know you've made, you mentioned off air, you've made a film in Wales, but predominantly the work you've done has been in the Australian industry. Can you comment on what your experience has been as a filmmaker in our industry and some of the pros and cons?
Yeah, I mean, I love it. And I've been lucky in the sense that I've been able to keep moving on and making films, like moving through self-financed shorts to funded shorts to script finance, like script development money to, you know, obviously raising the money for the feature. So in a way, that's certainly luck, but it's also hard work.
Yeah.
And I think it's been very much that kind of roller coaster of, you know, suddenly you have a little win and then you have a long lose. And then it's like a gambling, you know, and then you have another little win. It's enough to sustain
you. And it keeps you going, yeah.
You can sustain across that long lose period. Yeah. And I think that's the same for anyone at any level in the industry, but I certainly feel it with emerging people. That it's a battle, it's a fight, and you have to work really hard. And you know, and I feel like it's kind of like the last people standing are the ones that get the opportunity,
yeah.
Because everybody else who give up on their dreams, they bow out and go off and do other things. Fine, but it's the last people standing who are still there that get the opportunities, I think.
And how do you feel the progression? Because obviously you're now working on feature films more than shorts. How did you feel that progression happened? And was it a natural progression where you felt you were ready for features, or the opportunity came knocking and you went, right, I'm going to go for that?
Yeah, it's a weird feeling. It's sort of, I look back now and I'm like, oh my God, I just made a feature. It's sort of like something I didn't really expect, but I was working towards anyway.
Mm.
And then the actual financing took a long time, but then when the financing came together, it came together really quickly. So all of a sudden we were on and we had to shoot within a few months. And so I didn't really even get time to stop and think, oh, I'm shifting now from short film into feature.
Which is maybe a great thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, probably a great thing.
I just went into it with that same mentality of how do I approach, you know, this, telling a story, and I just needed a little bit more stamina over a few more weeks.
And so there was a chance for a little while that you're going to be actually shooting in Adelaide. What happened there?
Yes, because the South Australian Film Corp really liked the project, and they were wooing us. And in fact, they did actually commit money. But what it means is, you know, when you get state money, you either shoot or you do your post-production in that state. So we were location scouting around the Murray and like near Snowtown and kind of rural South Australia. And I loved it. And they were a great bunch of people. But in the end, Film Victoria came
to the party,
and it was enough for us to say, okay, we're going to stay here in Melbourne, because all of our crew were here.
Yeah.
So it would have meant that we couldn't take all of our crew. We could only take some.
And probably would have put up your costs as far as travel and accommodation for the people that were Melbourne-based.
It does. Yeah. Yeah, and you have to weigh it up. Yeah.
I just wanted to touch on briefly, both the Wild and Downriver, you're looking at some dark storytelling there. I mean, the Wilding looks at love and this fragile relationship in a harsh environment. And I don't know if you want us to go in too much depth the plot of Downriver, but I'm just really interested, you know, about this darkness of the stories that you've chosen to tell. Can you talk about what drew you to those storylines?
You know, it's funny, you know, people do talk about my stories of being dark all the time, and I look at them and I see the darkness there, but I also see the flip side, which is that the darkness illuminates the light when the light's there. I mean, for me, that's really the point of it, is that I'm looking for an intense experience for people. You know, I tell love stories in places where love is just smashed and ground down and the love still survived. That's what happens in The Wilding. So despite all the darkness, it's actually a story which is about love. And Downriver, to a degree, is the same. Downriver's got a very dark story. It's about a missing toddler's body who's drowned in a river, and all the myths that have sprung up around what could have happened to him. But at the same time, it's a story which is about friendship and love and family. And so for me, the darker it gets, the more poignant the moments of light. Mm-hmm. So that's why I kind of work in that that territory. And I wasn't really conscious of it until, in fact, it was that script editor at Screen Australia that said, this is your sweet spot. You should always try and tell stories like this, or certainly at the moment, put up tenderness right against, you know, darkness.
And that's the contrast. Something
interesting happens in there.
It's great to hear too, isn't it? Because I guess you're always wondering, well, where do I fit? What do I feel like? You know, and to have someone say that to you, that this could be your niche, for a lack of a better word, is a really beautiful thing to hear.
Yeah. Because, you know, I think when you're starting out, you're always trying to find your voice and what's my voice and what is it that I do well? And sometimes you get so wrapped up in all the negative feedback about your work that you don't really stop and appreciate, oh, hold on, I'm doing that really well.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is what my voice is. Yeah. And that's what I should always be trying to keep true.
Mm. And so do you think that's at the heart of what good storytelling is for you?
Yeah, absolutely. I do think it's about being true to your voice. Mm-hmm. And I think it's about having something to say as well, which again is about voice. Mm-hmm. It's about your reason for wanting to be a writer, is wanting to make some sort of point about life or the world or being human or something. And finding a nice way to hide what you're saying within drama. That's the bit that's so easy to say, but it's really hard to do.
Yeah.
But I think that's at the key to good storytelling is when, you know, all the ideas and the themes are kind of hidden and the audience has to go searching for them. And if you can lead them on the trail, that's a good story.
Great. Thank you so much for sitting down with us today. We can't wait to stay in touch and find out what happens with Downriver.
Yeah, have me back if you'd like.
Yeah, exactly. We will. Thanks, Grant.
Thank you. Thanks. Guys.